As we begin a new series, Release Your Faith, now we're going to go over some familiar ground to reinforce some things, but to help understand a difference between having faith and releasing faith. You know, the moment we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, the Bible declares that we are given the measure. The measure. So we have faith. And we're going to talk more about that. But having faith doesn't mean that it's going to be used or exercised. Having the God kind of faith doesn't mean that you're going to walk in the fullness of the reality of that faith. See, faith has to be released. And we need to teach on this, because if we don't put action to what we believe, then circumstances don't change. So there's got to be a release of faith. You know, when God said, light be, he released something. He released his faith. He had faith to believe that he could take darkness and turn it into light. And he did by releasing words. So the focus of this teaching is going to be on releasing faith, but we need to build a foundation before we get to that. Now, that may take a week. It may take 2 weeks. It may take longer. But we're not going to rush on this one, because the Bible has a lot to say about this subject of faith. Now, we've done a faith series before. We've talked about faith a lot. But this is going to be very specific, because we have to understand this principle. Because what God wants us to do is infect this realm with heaven. You understand that? We're to invade this realm with kingdom. So if we're going to invade this realm with kingdom, we don't want to be seeking this realm as our source, correct? Yep. You understand what I'm saying here? We want to infect this realm with kingdom. See, kingdom's a superior realm. Earth is a subordinate realm to the realm of the spirit. So we want to bring this realm to here. That's why we're here, to bring heaven to earth. Now, we do that by faith, and we do that by exercising our faith in every realm that we exist in. See, Jesus said all authority and power has been given to him. And then he said, now you go. So there's been a transfer of all authority and all power. Now, he's given it to the church because he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Majesty on high. That's where he's seated. It's important to understand that the name of Jesus is as powerful today, as we're talking about this, as Jesus when he spoke in the earth. So the name today and the word is as powerful as if Jesus was present speaking. We don't need to call him from heaven to earth for more power. We have all the power that we need to affect or infect or change this realm. We have all the power we need. The question is, are we going to turn the power up and release it? Now, that's not a heavenly decision. That's our decision. God doesn't release our faith. Don't miss that. You release your faith. God doesn't release it. God's given faith. Think about it like this. You can have a bank account with funds, but if those funds aren't released, are they any good to you? No good. That's exactly how faith works. You can have an account with funds, but if those funds aren't released for your benefit, then they're just numbers. Numbers on a spreadsheet. Faith's the same. We have the faith, but we've got to learn to release the faith. So think about faith for a minute. God has given, think about this, he's given us his faith so that we can receive from him for his glory. So he's given us his faith so we can receive from him so that he gets glory. How intriguing is that? That's how God works. See, the faith takes the free gift of grace. And when we take the free gift of grace that God's given us, he's glorified in that. Amen. So we need to understand something about faith. Faith is not something we have to get. Please understand this. It's something we already have. It's a gift of God to us. But do we know how to release it? We don't need to get this faith. We've got the faith. See, the world system is a cursed system. It's a broken system. And it's filled with death. And it's controlled by demons. Now, whether the world there believes that or not, you read this book and you'll discover pretty quickly that this world system is demonic in nature. That's why there's so much hurt and poverty and lack and sickness and disease in the earth. If we were to go into hospitals, you know, in some of those locations where you've got terminally ill people, particularly in palliative care, and I'm sure many of you have seen this over the years where you've got somebody who's wasting away because of a sickness or a disease, you tell me if that's not a curse. When you see somebody that's emaciated and wasting away because they are being consumed by disease in their body. The idea that God would get a smile on his face over that is a life in the pit of hell. God doesn't get glory out of that. But the devil rubs his hands over it. And you know why many people end up like that? Because they don't know truth. They don't know that there's a loving God that wants to set them free. But I'll tell you right now, we can be those people that can walk in the miraculous. Because God wants us to exercise faith. Faith is a product of the recreated human spirit. It's a spirit force. It's not a mind thing. It's not a mind game. You don't exercise faith in your mind. You don't intellectualize faith. There are universities, there are seminaries throughout the world where the teachers of the Bible don't have a faith in God. Don't have faith in God. So what they teach out of is intellectualism. They teach out of head knowledge. They'll read something, but there's no revelation there. There's no rhema. There's no revealed knowledge. You don't get that from the head. That comes from the Spirit when we ask the Spirit of God to bring understanding, to quicken our spirits to receive. When we read this book, we want to ask that of God. Quicken our understanding so we know truth. So it's a spirit force. The kingdom doesn't operate like the natural world order. So if we're trying to live in this natural world order, that's not how the kingdom works. That's why the Bible declares the just or the righteous shall live by what?
Faith.
Because the kingdom doesn't operate the same way as the earth does. See, Jesus described how the kingdom works as if a man should sow seed. Everything about kingdom is seed. You sow and you get a harvest. In every realm of kingdom operation, it's an eternal principle in the spirit and it's an eternal principle in the natural. You sow a seed in the ground, you're going to get a harvest off that seed. You're not going to get something different to what the seed was designed to produce. Think about that. And think about what our words mean if they're considered a seed. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead because words and releasing faith are intrinsically connected. You need both. I'm just laying a foundation here. We don't have to rely on a system that we've come to displace. Think about what I just said then. We don't need to rely on a system that we've come to displace. That's not what we're relying on. We're not relying on the world's way to meet our needs. Or we shouldn't. God's our source. So we're not relying on a system that we've come to displace, because that's what God wanted. God wanted to bring heaven to earth. He wanted to reveal himself to humanity. How do we do that? Well, one, we reveal it through love. So our faith works by love. We can reveal it when we lay hands on someone and we pray the prayer of faith over them and they're delivered or they're healed of a sickness or something in their body. We can reveal kingdom when somebody's got a pressing need and the Lord impresses on your heart to give them something to meet that need. And you say, you know what? I love you. Take that. You say, why would you do that? Because I love you. And God loves you. You get their attention pretty quick. Now, firstly, to be able to do those things, we need provision. Our provision doesn't come from this realm, it comes from that realm. The reason why we can have provision to give is because we give. Oh, don't miss that, people. The reason why we have provision to give is because we give. Sow a seed. As a man sows, he shall reap a harvest. And we have a provision to be able to minister to someone in healing is because we're the healed. Why? Because we've received from him. We've received that manifest power of God from heaven and we deliver it exactly how the Lord directs us to. It's not prescriptive, it's spirit-led. This is kingdom. So why would we run to a world order that we've come to displace? We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't run to the world for our needs to be met. This church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He'll build it. He'll build it. He's building it. And there's provision that comes with it. Now, when you believe like this, you then have to be very, very careful what you agree with. Someone comes up to me and says, but Pastor, have we got the funds for that? And I say, be quiet. I don't hear that. He meets all our needs. But do we have the money to achieve that? Stop. Loose lips. I'm not going to agree with that. You come up to me and you say, well, you know, yeah, we believe we're building, but have we got the money? I say, yes, we have. Amen. By faith. Amen. Why am I believing for the natural to give me provision? I've come to displace the natural. So have you. We're kingdom people. We're not earthbound people. We're not relying on a fortnightly paycheck. Oh, God help us. We are drawing from an eternal supply from heaven. And my God said, I shall meet all your needs. My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not your paycheck. Not your bank account. Understand how this kingdom works, because before we can really progress in this, we've got to understand what realm we're in. We're not in a natural realm, we're in a spirit realm, and what we do in the natural realm is we displace it so we can invade this realm with kingdom. That's how it works. Well, that's how the church should operate. We need to be different to a world system. World system's broke. Broken. It's a broken system. You play in that system, all you're going to experience is brokenness. How sad. You know, they do what they can to help people, whether it be in a physical sense or in a financial sense or in a mental health sense, but none of that can deliver people. World can't deliver you from poverty. Well, can't redeem you from a demonic curse of sickness in your body. It can deal with symptoms, but it can't take the root and rip it out of you. And it can't deal with the mental health issues if they're demonically inspired. Because all they can deal with is, or minister to, is the soul realm. the soul realm, that mind, that will, that emotion, that feeler, that thinker, that chooser, that part of you, if they minister to that, that hasn't got to the real you. The real you is spirit. Spirit. That's you, spirit. And if your spirit is sound, you're going to have sound flesh. Your body will be sound. When your spirit's not sound, it's going to affect everything. But we just finished a series on perfect peace, did we not? Did God offer us perfect peace? That peace we discovered is not natural peace, it's spiritual peace. It comes out of a righteous spirit, not a natural feeling. Because if it's about feelings or where I happen to be at any given point of time, then that peace is good 1 minute and it's gone the next. Well, that's not the peace that God gave us. His is perfect. Shalom, shalom. Which means it's enduring. We don't embrace the world's counterfeit peace. We don't do that. So some other things. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Is that right? Didn't Jesus declare that? They're in the world, they're not of it. I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the wicked, evil one. So if you want to leave the world, then think about what Jesus said. I don't pray that they'd be taken out of the world. He wants you right in the middle of the fight. Amen. Right in the stronghold of where there's pressure and there's influence and there's darkness and there's persecution. You're thinking, my God, is that what Christianity is? Yes. It's exactly what Christianity is. We are the kingdom that have been placed right in the heart of the earth where the darkness and the fight is. Because when we're there, guess what exists? Light. Light. It's exactly where he wants us. I don't pray that you take them out of the earth. Just keep them from the wicked. Just keep them. Didn't Jesus pray to Peter? I pray your faith won't fail. Do you know how your faith won't fail? Keep your words going. Stop your words, your faith will fail. Stop speaking words of faith, it'll fail. Stop declaring the promises of God by the confession of faith. Your faith is going to fail. You've got to keep declaring the promises of God to keep your faith alive. That's how it's released. That's how it's released. Because it's a servant. I'm going to get into that in more detail in the weeks ahead. Faith is a servant given to us. It's a servant. But we have to give it assignments. God doesn't give your faith assignments. We have to give an assignment by releasing it. When we release the faith, we release the servant attached to the faith. It's a servant. Jesus talks about that. And we'll look at that. But we are right where God wants us to be. What do you think about something? Wasn't Joseph in a heathen world? Isn't that where God placed him? In a prison? And then he was second to Pharaoh in Egypt, a heathen nation. Wasn't that right? Daniel, wasn't he supporting up to 3 heathen kings during his time? Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Cyrus. Yep. Esther, wasn't she married to a heathen king and God used her for such a time as this? That's where God has us. If you wonder, how come I'm in this pressure cooker, God? He says, because that's where I need you. I need you there. I need you to be my hands and feet. But I don't want you to do it on your strength. I want you to do it in my strength. Trust me and watch my power work through you. Isn't that what Paul said? You know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because his strength is perfected in my weakness. Here's Paul, the great apostle of faith, declaring his strength is perfected when I'm weak. Come on, people. We do nothing for him that matters. Don't boast about what you do for God. God help us that we should ever do that. We're nothing without him. Well, look what we did. We went down and we witnessed to him. We did this. No, look what God did. He ministered to that sick person and he did this and he raised that person up and I had the honor and the privilege of being part of it. Amen. The only reward is the one where we allow God to work through us. No reward for what you do. No reward for what I do. You know why there's no reward? We don't do anything. We don't do anything. We've got this beautiful Holy Ghost that's with us. And he loves us, and he's given us this powerful, mighty name that we heard about all last week, that name of Jesus Christ, that name that every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every tongue shall confess him as Lord. Every tongue. Whether they know him or not, they're going to confess him. Think about that day of judgment. Think about that. Everyone is going to stand before King Jesus. Satan, sinner. Everyone, they're going to stand before him and they're going to bow their knee. But the idea is to bow their knee this side of eternity. That's the idea, bow the knee this side of eternity when we hear about this amazing, loving, gracious God and we say yes to him, because it's too late when you get to heaven and you have to stand before a holy, righteous God and bow your knee. Too late. Because what's going to be the words that echo? Be gone from me, I never knew you. Don't ever be that. Not when you've got this amazing gospel. Not when you've got the book. Not when you've got the preached word. There's too much truth out there to miss it today. We've got this. It's why we declare it. That's why he's got us where we are, so we can bring truth to a world that needs it. Amen. I'm getting to a scripture. I'm telling you, it's coming. He didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world. You know, God made it that we be totally independent in this world. Now, hear me, by being totally dependent on him. So he created this system so that we would be totally independent in this world by being totally dependent on him. Does that make sense? Exactly how kingdom is. God doesn't want us seeking this world as our source. God's our source. He's our supply. And he will provide for us. Go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It's just a foundation this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Now I think, well, here we are. We're going to talk about what faith is and all this. You know what? We don't know anything. You can read these 1,000 times and still not plumb the depths of revelation of God. When we think we know it, we have no idea what we're talking about. Every time you read this, you get fresh revelation, fresh insight from God. This is what we want today. We want fresh understanding of the truth of his word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, King James. It says, I want to go back to verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Put it in context. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He's coming. Hallelujah. He's coming.
Amen.
And he won't be long. He won't be long. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back to perdition. That word perdition is to destruction or ruin. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that, you know, that drawing back, we don't cower or shrink. We're the army of God. We go forward. We take a stand. Just like that thing we sang before, we raise a hallelujah to the Lord. We raise a song of praise to him. And our voice is louder than unbelief. It's louder than unbelief. It's louder than the voice of the enemy. We declare the praises of God because he cannot fail us. And he never will.
Amen.
Then it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance, it's a confidence or it's an assurance. That's the substance of faith. Faith is not some sort of airy, fairy, spiritual reality. It's a substance. It's real. It has purpose. What it does is it builds a bedrock foundation in our lives so we can do the things God's called us to do. That's what faith is. It's the substance. It's the bedrock. It's the assurance. It's the confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what you can't see. Wow. It's the evidence of what you can't see. Remember we talked about spiritual seeing, spiritual eyes? If you operate in this natural realm and all you see is natural, faith's not in operation. Faith works because it's the evidence of what you cannot see with these eyes. It's spirit. You grab it in the spirit. It's a spiritual force. It comes out of the recreated human spirit, the righteous spirit. So when you're believing something, once you believe and receive, you've now taken it by faith. It's now yours. So what's the difference between hope and faith? See, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what you can't see. But hope says, I'll get it sometime. Faith says, I've got it now. Hope says, I'll get it sometime. What are you hoping for, brother? Oh, I'm hoping one day. Well, you're not in faith. That's not faith. See, faith takes it in the spirit. You don't need to see something in natural to receive it by faith. Is that right, Natasha? When we believed and prayed, we believed and received that little gift of that baby in that womb the day we prayed that prayer of faith. The day that prayer was prayed, we believe we received. Amen. Now, from those words was seeded life. That's how it works. That's how it works when you're believing in your body for something that shouldn't be there. You can take that thing and blast it with faith in God and His Word and say, not in my body. Get. You know what? So how can you say that? You start speaking and speaking and speaking and be like the woman with the issue of blood who kept saying. Don't just think, well, I just said it once, Lord, did you hear me? Keep speaking it. Not because He's deaf, because we need to build our faith in the words that we speak. God heard you the moment you prayed. He heard Daniel the moment he prayed. 21 days before that angel could come through, because angel was fighting with demonic realm and he couldn't break through to help Daniel in his prayer. Why? Because there was demonic opposition to what he was praying. And you're thinking, God, I've been praying in this 3 weeks. What's happening? He says, I heard your prayer from day one. Stay in faith. Just keep declaring what you're declaring. There's a bit going on my side of the equation that you can't see. Don't think that God's lack of response, or what's the best way to describe that? Delay's not denial. Delay's not denial. There might be delay in your life over something, but that's okay. Look at the greats of faith. It was a fair while from when God spoke to Abram until Abram had Isaac. There was a fair gap. But he had to stay in faith. Had to stay in faith. There was a fair gap. You know, he declared, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Yeah, whatever. Great. I'm an old man. But he did. And you know what we don't often hear preached? Many, many, many years later, did not Abraham remarry and have, I believe, 5 more children? About 145 years of age. Not too many talk about that. We all talk about the day when he fathered Isaac, which was a miracle in itself. But when Sarah died and he married again later, he was 140-something years of age and he had several more children, Abraham. And then he died at 175 years. A rich man, a prosperous man, and a man full with his years. Now, you know what? He did it for Abraham. Why would he do it for his children? I'll tell you why his children don't get it. They don't declare it. They don't call down the promises of God. You know, we peck around at this low level when we have so much. I can tell you now, the most wealthy billionaire on planet Earth that doesn't know Jesus Christ is in poverty compared to us. The wealthiest billionaire in comparison is in poverty compared to what God has in store for those that will dare to trust Him in faith. But we peck. We peck. We're eagles. We don't want to peck. We want to grab it by faith. Take a hold of it. We want this to be reality, this substance. And the thing about faith is, it'll continue to work until it takes on the substance of the faith that was planted in your heart. So when you believe for something and you keep your words aligned to that, it will continue to work in your heart until that substance becomes reality. That's how this works. But you know what? If you wake up one day and say, oh, well, whatever. Do you think that's going to produce from heaven? From a spirit being? That's not how it works. You've got to be able to declare. Listen. He spoke to trees. Did he not, Jesus? He spoke to wind, inanimate objects. They obeyed him. They can't speak back, but they obeyed him. Now, you know what? When you're willing to speak to a tree, when you're willing to speak to inanimate objects in your life, when you're willing to look like a fool in the presence of other people, then your faith will produce in your life. But until you're willing to speak to something that can't speak back to you, you're never going to release your faith. Never. You're always going to be contained in this realm, which is not the realm that we are designed to be in. We are not contained to a natural realm. We are spirit beings, and we're here to infect the natural realm. We're here to displace it and bring kingdom in. How do you do that? Not because you talk religion. Not because, oh, it was a great service, wasn't it really good? We had some fun. Now let's go out and act like the devil. We don't do it like that. We stay on the God side of everything, every minute, every hour of every day. And if somebody says to you, God could never do that for you, say, watch. Could God give this a church a building without debt? Watch. Could he? Don't come to me and tell me we don't have the money. Don't do it. Including the board. Don't do it. Because I tell you right now, if I agree with you, we'll never get it. But if you agree with me, you watch it happen.
Amen.
Remember, there were 10 spies that said, we can't go. Were there not? 10 of them. Can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. 2 of them said, let's go into the promised land. Now that melted the hearts of 3 million people that never moved. 40 years in the wilderness, they roamed around for 40 years because 10 spies would not have faith in their God. 2 did. But the 10 overrode the 2. Loose lips. I'm telling you. You start speaking loose in a church about this and what God's doing. Oh, well, I can't really see much happening in this church. Shut your mouth. Could I put that any plainer?
No.
You know why? Because faith operates that way. You know, it doesn't, oh, well, you know, words don't really matter. Yes, they do. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Phooey. Names will never hurt me. Names will kill you. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. See how the devil gets things? He twists it around. Names will never hurt you. Don't worry about words, sticks and stones, but names. Don't worry about names. Names are the most powerful things on this earth. We've got the name that's been given above every name. We have the name that's the name. At that name, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, under the earth. Every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're wondering how that man got healed, it's by the name. Faith in the name healed that man.
Amen.
Don't tell me your name's not real. I'm powerful.
Amen.
You declare the name of Jesus and you're going to see the miraculous in your life. The name's powerful. But it's got to be through faith in the name. It didn't say the name of Jesus healed that cripple. It said through faith in the name. You've got to have faith in the name to walk in victory. If you don't have faith in the name, which means you've got to have faith in the Word. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. Is He not?
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. If you haven't got faith in this book, you haven't got faith in the name. If you haven't got faith in the name, you'll never see the miraculous in your life. You can't. You've got to have faith in this. And then when you have faith in that, then you're going to take those words and make them yours. And you're going to release your faith because you're taking truth and you're putting it above fact and circumstances. Amen. They're reality, but they're not truth. Truth is the word of God. Yes. Nothing supersedes truth. Sickness in your body is not truth. It's a fact, and it's got no right to be in your body. And you know what? Some will argue over that. Some will fight you black and blue over it. Well, you know what? Did God use in that to teach you something? Hello? If God's using that to teach me something, why would I serve him? And why would you serve him? There's not a parent here that would do that to a child. He won't do it to you and to me. But don't listen to the devil's filthy lies about that garbage. Put faith in the word. That's where faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what we can't see. It's the evidence of what we can't see. See, when you have faith in your heart and release it out of your mouth, you give your servant an assignment. You're giving your servant an assignment when you speak it out of your mouth. And of course, your servant faith will work for you until the job is finished if you don't stop speaking it. Your servant faith will get the job done if you keep your word out there. Stay out there. Keep it out there. Don't draw back. And the Bible says, you don't need to turn there, but in Luke 6:45, it says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know what? That's how you know if faith, fear, or unbelief is planted in your heart. You want to know if you've got faith in your heart? When you're in a press, what's coming out of your heart? Is it fear? Is it unbelief? Is it doubt? Is it absolute assurance? Is it full persuasion like Abraham? He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Is that where your faith level is? Or is it those other things? Because of the abundance of the heart, you're going to speak. You're going to speak out of your mouth what's in your heart. And if it's in your heart and it's faith, it's going to come out and your servant's going to be released and the thing it's sent to's got to obey it. See, faith obeys you and then the circumstance has to obey the faith. That's how it works. There is no other realm, there is no other way in the realm of the spirit that can operate. That's how it works. So we release the servant. And then the servant goes to work, and the circumstance that the servant's released to deal with must respond to that. It must respond. We've got to release it first. We have to release the servant, and the circumstance must comply with the demand of faith. And we heard this at a conference, and Helen and I picked up on this. It was a really good statement, and I'm sure those who were present would have also picked up on it. We didn't. This was in another message. If your mouth, now you want to write this down. If your mouth fills your heart with words of faith when you do not need it, okay? So if your mouth fills your heart with words of faith when you don't need it, your heart will fill your mouth with words of faith when you do. So don't wait for the storm. Don't wait for the pressure. Fill your heart with faith through words. And then when you have a need, your heart is going to fill your mouth with words to speak at that moment. When something comes against you and the first words out of your mouth are, not on this watch, devil. Ain't going to happen here. Not on my body. Not on my finances. Not now, family, not now, children, not going to happen. The blood of Jesus covers this home. The blood of Jesus, the bloodline is around this property. You're not coming here. Amen. Is that your confession? When there's a world financial crash out there and all the things are going pear-shaped, do you say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you'll meet my needs. Amen. And then walk on rejoicing. That's how faith is. Is it unreasonable? 100%. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Calling things that be not as though they were, saying, you know what? Yeah, my body's racked with pain, but thank you, Lord, I'm healed. People say, you're a nut. But you become a healed nut. I'm telling you, they can't get this. They can't understand this. Why would they even try? You can't receive this in the natural understanding. Why would you say that you're well when clearly you're not well? Why would you say that God is supplying all your provision when you got nothing in the bank? And you say, because God can take nothing and turn it into something. He took darkness and said, light be. He took a young woman called Mary and seated her with grace and truth. Didn't need a man. God can do whatever he wants to do, people. But are we willing to make a demand from heaven and bring it to earth? Are we willing to do that? Because that's where this faith realm operates. Faith will always believe the word over circumstances. It overrides what we see, hear, and feel. Faith trusts in the unseen because God said. I'm going to stop there. Faith trusts in the unseen because God said. That's all we need. All we need this morning to believe God is to dare to believe what he said. If what he said is truth, and it is, then we have a right to make a demand on that truth by faith. And if we take his faith, and we're going to talk about that next week, if we take his faith and make a demand on his promises, we're going to get them.
Amen.
We're going to get them. Now, the devil doesn't want you to hear this. And I can tell you right now, he doesn't want you to live it. He does not want you to start declaring the end from the beginning. He doesn't want you to declare what you haven't got. He wants you to declare what you've got. He wants you to declare what your broken situation is right now. He wants you to declare what your financial situation is. He wants you to declare about all the different parts of your body that's not right, an organ by organ recital. He wants you to declare that. But what God wants you to declare is, by his stripes, I was healed.
Hallelujah.
By his stripes, I was healed. He wants you to declare victory. We're the victorious people. We're the victorious. And as we continue to walk this journey of faith, we're going to see miraculous things. And we're going to get testimonies of what God is doing in this church and in your lives, because if you embrace these truths, you're going to receive from heaven what you couldn't possibly receive in the natural. Why? Because God is faithful to his word. So, we're going to start releasing our faith, amen? In the days, weeks and months ahead, as we continue to grow in this, we're going to release our faith as the word shows us to, so we can receive all God has for us as a mighty church, his glorious church, without spot, wrinkle or blemish. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.